most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Education is getting worse and worse in the United States of America. And C.J. Stroud is part of the problem.
I'm not a test taker, so I play football.
As if teaching America's children that tests don't matter wasn't bad enough, think about this. In Stroud's two biggest football tests of his life against Michigan, he failed.
If I'm not the smartest quarterback in this draft, I know I'm one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL.
C.J. Stroud, hereby disavowed.
This ad was paid for by the Texans might not draft the quarterback tonight. Deal with it.
You might have to deal with it, guys. You might have to deal with it. So just get ready in advance. And don't get too angry because realize you don't know. They know slightly better than you. So it's not like even with all the research they put in that ultimately they're going to be more correct than anyone who listens to our coverage of the draft. Starting at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5 live from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage or watching it on TV. But there's a very good chance they're not going to take one. And I would encourage you, a city that has not had, with hindsight being 2020, the best reactions to picks like that of J.J. Watt, just slow your roll, take a deep breath, and realize it's all going to be okay. But I do have a message for the Houston Texans. And as somebody who is 34 years old, still single, I feel like I'm an expert in this matter. You can be too picky in life. You can. That's not to say you should ever settle. And it's not to say that you shouldn't have a high standard for yourself. But you should also realize that you're only going to have a select amount of opportunities in your life to find the one. And maybe that the one doesn't look exactly the way that you'd want them to look. I know I'm a really shallow person, so that's a big problem for me. It's just getting past that part to the whole, oh, is this person a good person? Which is perhaps why I am still single at age 34. But I think that when you're the Texans and you're in this spot with the second overall pick, not ideal, you have to make sure that you're actually thinking about at least one or two of these quarterbacks. Give it a chance. And I'm not saying take a guy for the sake of taking a guy, but you do not know that you're going to be back in this position next year. First off, Nick Caserio might be fired. Second off, if you're drafting next year, are you sure that you're going to have a chance to get Caleb Williams out of USC, who right now, and things can obviously change, we've seen Matt Barkley go from top 10 quarterback to fourth round quarterback overnight, Matt Leinart to first overall quarterback to 10th player taken overall in 1 year. Both USC guys, by the way. It can change really quick from year to year. You can't predict that something's going to be available for you next year. I'm just saying you can't go through life being too picky. There is a certain point where you're going to have to do something unless you want to be an incel. That is the only way that is going to go for you. It's you're continuously too picky and holding things too high up. Putting the you-know-what on a pedestal. There's a certain moment where you got to say, nope, I want this, and I'm going to try to make this work. Guess what? It might not work. But as a 34-year-old single man, I'm just saying to the Texans right now, don't be too picky here. Don't act like you're better than the guys that are available to you definitively. You don't 100% know that. One of these guys might end up being good. You have to determine whether or not you have the ability to coach that player up. And honestly, who knows? Who knows with D'Amico Ryans as head coach? I'm pretty encouraged by the way he talks about coaching young players, about his ability to do that with defensive players, which would maybe lead you to think that maybe in year one, a Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech or a Will Anderson from Alabama, those two picks might be the guy. those two picks might be the smart play. Because D'Amico's able to coach those guys up. From an offensive perspective, we don't know what Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, is going to bring to the table and if he's going to be able to teach, say, Bryce Young falls to two, or C.J. Stroud, they take him, or Will Levis, they take him, or Anthony Richardson, they take him, or Hendon Hooker, who is supposedly now thought of as a first-round prospect, they take him. You don't definitively know, but if you feel like you could coach the guy up, don't be too picky, acting like you're always going to have an opportunity to take somebody. Because you might find yourself where I am, as coldly worded by my mom, you might find yourself, age 34, running out of options. And she said it in a nice way, but the word stung. The word stung when put together. So there you go. Paul Galancho, ESPN, 973-780-3776 to call and text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can also join us on Twitter, @GalanceSays. At ESPN 97.5, at Sean A. Mapes. Let's take a look through the text line. From the 346, if the Texans take a quarterback at two, it'll be a huge reach. Well, here's the thing with quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, when you take them, it's almost always going to be a huge reach. The Texans had to trade up to get Deshaun Watson. He fell into their laps. The Kansas City Chiefs had to trade up to get Patrick Mahomes. You're trading a bunch of money, and then you're paying them a bunch of money. It's always a huge reach, and it's always a huge risk. And sometimes it doesn't work out. But you can't say to yourself, I'm never going to take a guy and continuously be like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Like, that's the area that you could be running into if you go in back-to-back drafts and say, we don't like any of the quarterbacks, especially considering this year's quarterback draft class is considered to be one of the better ones in recent memory. Who knows what that even means, but that's what people have said about a quarterback class that features the five guys that I listed a moment ago, Sean.
It's also not a reach if you get the quarterback right.
That's
like
true.
If the quarterback's good, there's never been a good quarterback. They were like, do we love that he was picked fifth? Or
yeah, they don't care.
There's no one cares.
No one cares.
Once you get it right, you got it right.
If you get it right, like, you're gold. I mean, that's why some teams are willing to trade three first-round picks to go and get a quarterback. This texter 346 says, need to go defense or trade with the Titans for three first. Don't trade with the Titans. You're going to take three picks from the Titans so that they can get the quarterback that maybe you don't want? 713-780-3776. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Paul Gallant Show on draft day. Stick around.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, King of Twitch asks, explain your logic about taking a quarterback. Always be shooting. Keep shooting. You shouldn't stop. In the dating world, it's a little bit different. You just slide in the DMs of somebody that left their Instagram account handle on their Hinge or their Bumble profile. That's what I do. If I don't match, I will not go quietly into the night. We are persistent as it gets, perhaps a little bit too persistent at times, I've been told. A text, very good chance as a big Buckeye fan, the Texans should, I think they should take CJ, but I'm hoping they don't, and he falls to Indianapolis and destroys the Texans for years. That's not nice, sir. That's not nice. Bleep the Colts. Paul, if they draft the quarterback with the two pick and fail, try again next year, says another texter, when they will pick at the top of the draft after stinking. Yes, I also don't think you should marry yourself to a quarterback just because you took him top five. And another text, this is from Eric. People act like Mahomes was this amazing prospect. He was barely talked about. Barely is a little bit of an extreme word. There were a lot of interesting elements about Mahomes, but I would agree in that he wasn't this super hyped prospect at all. And I remember letting college bias play into how I felt about Mahomes because I'm like, oh, it's another Texas Tech quarterback that puts up numbers. But I hadn't watched a lot of Patrick Mahomes in college. Eric continued, he was barely talked about. People went nuts saying it was a reach. That is true. People did think it was. Chiefs look like geniuses now. I think that we rationalized it to ourselves with the Texans taking Deshaun Watson a couple of picks later. I think that we told ourselves that Watson was the clear number one guy in that year's draft class because we had seen him compete at the highest level and win at the highest level. But a couple of years later, the power rankings between the two shifted dramatically. And people got very upset with the idea that Mahomes was better than Watson.
Still too early to tell.
I hate that line. I hate that line so much.
Let it play out, Paul. Let their second contract play out.
I'm glad you brought up too early to tell. Let's touch on the Astros for just a moment. The Astros won 1-0 yesterday over the Tampa Bay Rays. They took 2-3 from Tampa Bay. What you have seen from Hunter Brown to this point, maybe it is too early to tell, but he has looked awesome. And yesterday, 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts over 7 innings against the best lineup in baseball, at least statistically to this point in the year, has to have you feeling really excited. Really. I feel great about Hunter Brown's potential. But there was an interesting question asked earlier on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston on the text line. How many bad starts do we let Jose Urquidy have before we call up Forrest Whitley? That is an interesting question. For what it's worth, it was the spring training, but Whitley supposedly looked really good in spring training. How much stock do you put into that? I don't know. The thing that throws a wrench in potentially moving Urquidy to the side is that you've seen Urquidy deliver on the literal biggest stage. You've seen Urquidy pitch well in a World Series. And look, how are you going to tell the rest of the clubhouse that Forrest Whitley is more capable than Urquidy because Urquidy's had a couple of rough starts to open up the year? It's hard to do that. But I think if we get into June and Urquidy's continuing to pitch like this, I imagine we will see some sort of corresponding move. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston. The Houston Roughnecks are going to be playing the Arlington Renegades in the XFL South Division Championship game Saturday night at 6 o'clock. You can get your tickets online. The game's, of course, going to be at TDECU Stadium. I'm looking forward to it. I do hate that they're called the Arlington Renegades. I get it. They're not in Dallas, but just call them Dallas so that we can get a little more Houston-Dallas in our lives. Joining us right now on the HR&P guest line is the offensive coordinator of your beloved Houston Roughnecks, A.J. Smith. A.J., thanks for joining us, man.
No, thank you, Paul. Glad to be here.
A.J. has a fascinating backstory for those who don't know. He was part of the 5-0 undefeated forever Houston Roughnecks as a wide receiver coach. And I read about your unfortunate, like having to figure out what the hell to do next after the pandemic hit. As somebody who was up in Seattle when the pandemic hit and ended up coming back here, like I relate. So you were going from high school to high school and you made a phone call thinking you were going to play some semi-pro football. And then all of a sudden, you ended up on a coaching staff. Can you tell us that story? Because I think it's going to be better coming from you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the pandemic's going on. It's like, well, what do you do? And so I was going to go play quarterback and semi-pro, actually, end up doing it. But I went to my old high school, and I said, hey, y'all have a helmet, because I don't feel like buying one. They're like, yeah, we'll give you a helmet. And then I go there and go, hey, you know, would you be our offensive coordinator? And I laughed because I didn't think they were serious. And they're like, no, really, we need an offensive coordinator. I don't want to do it anymore. The head coach said that. And I said, well, I really don't live in Shreveport, but I really don't live anywhere else right now. So I guess I'll do it. So I do it. I win the state championship there, which was cool because when I played, we lost in the semifinals back when I was there. And Doug Peterson was our head coach. And so to go back and win it, coaching, that was a fun and cool experience.
I know we're not talking about the big game that you guys have, and I know you're focused on Roughnecks Renegades on Saturday, 6 o'clock. You want to get out to TDECU Stadium and be loud for our beloved Roughnecks. What's it like coaching at a high school in 2020, 2021, 2022? Because I have always looked at AJ's parents These days, it seems like they're a little bit more aggressive than the online fans that we deal with online. Was that tough coaching young men, but also having like parents maybe barking over your shoulder?
It's always the players that are bad you got to deal with because their parents think they're all American. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we have drills that just kind of shows you the facts, and here they are in your face, and so we deal with that. But it's fun because we could still run all our, you know, being the run and shoot air raid offense, we can still run all our stuff because the kids are so smart these days, they get it. And so the kids you do have that are talented, and you get them onto Division I, the parents love you. And that was the case for many of our players. So take the good with the bad, but it's all fun.
Roughnecks offensive coordinator A.J. Smith with me on the HR&P guest line. We had Wade Phillips on the show a couple of months ago, and he was talking about right after Mike Leach had passed away, I was going to be the Leach offense. And you mentioned that offense. You're the architect of this thing. And I was reading up that you have some interesting play calls, and I got to say, I'm a big appreciator of the play called GTFO, even though I'm pretty sure I have no idea what the hell's happening on that play.
Yeah, you know, our double pass that was play, I think it's going to get voted play of the year. We named it after Coach Leach and our relationship. We always were trying to come up with innovative things together, and with him passing, we decided to name that play after him. And then there's this other call, you know, a lot of systems deal with numbers, and I hate it because I'll get numbers mixed up.
Me
real
too.
Quick. So we try to come up with catchy stuff. So instead of calling it 619, we just say, you know, GTFO, get open. And the players remember it, and that's what it's all about. And they remember it to the point that where with all the pressure's on and we're about to snap the ball, I can check to it and just say something catchy like GTFO or CAT or, you know, whatever it is. And the players get it. That's what's big. And so the more catchy they are, the better, because they get it and they go do it.
That is really smart, AJ. Look, I played high school at a small school in Florida, and I don't think our offense was very complicated because we were running like the wing T. So, you know, it was miserable also to be a wide receiver in that. But you, as a player, have to remember all of these specific plays. And I would think the same as you. We had someone call in the other day, AJ, who was trying to explain some mathematical equation of why the Astros were getting cheated. And I was like, dude, you lost me after the first two numbers here. But letters, so like, is there a WTF play? Is there a ROFLLMAO play? Or are there any others that are like this?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like when you watch The Office and they're trying to explain to him what the surplus is, and Michael goes, okay, now explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old. And there's just something about simplicity. And I think, you know, one of the things we take as a coaching philosophy is any idiot can take something simple and make it complicated. The beauty is taking something complicated and make it something simple, and that's something we strive to do here.
Those are words to live by. Damn, I'm going to write that down. Maybe pass it off as my own words. AJ, you're from Louisiana. I feel like by default that means you party. So I'm jealous of that. Just wanted to let you know. Do you think there's another state that parties anywhere close to the level of Louisiana?
I think you got to get around the college campus. So I don't know if we count that. But as far as pure cities, you know, you got to equate, you know, like the Arizona State campuses and all that. But, you know, it's all seasonal is the issue. So, you know, the biggest party going on in the world right now is, you know, Coachella and Stagecoach over in Southern California. But then it's going to turn into a retirement center after that. So, you know, where can I go that's always kind of a party? Well, yeah, I think New Orleans is year-round. I think we could go have a few drinks on a Tuesday and be thousands of people there. And so it's kind of hard to beat that.
Are you a festival guy? I mean, I'm a festival guy. Do you want to go to a festival with me sometime?
I've been to Stagecoach. I've been there.
Stagecoach?
It's kind of funny being in Louisiana. That's what's going on now. I have a lot of buddies out there going. It's a bunch of California people pretending to be cowboys. So I was one of the genuine people that showed up with a, you know, southern accent, as they would say, and was naturally kind of country. And, you know, they all kind of looked weird, like, oh, you're not really faking it. This is who you are. So it was fun to go do that. And, you know, of course, Louisiana Mardi Gras, that's a real big deal. I grew up on the parades every year and throwing beads and, you know, the king cakes and all those things. That was probably my favorite time of year growing up as a kid. I mean, when that king cake come out, you know, it was time to get your tongue purple or green because it was so good. But yeah, you know, what's better, especially in the off season, though. Off season, it's fun to go find something that's festive and be around it and see where the action is.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm a big fan of AJ Smith. Right? He's the offensive coordinator of your Houston Roughnecks. And, you know, I do want to get one last question in about the game. Don't want to make you give any bulletin board material either. You know, I would never do that to my close personal future festival friend here. But this is your first experience of Houston versus Dallas, even though it's Arlington. And I'm just going to lay it out for you. Like, Houston, we're like salt of the earth. We're cool, you know? And Dallas, it's like pretentious, like kind of stuck up. Some of those people you mentioned, you know, that are coming from the West Coast and they're, you know, appropriating like Texas culture. I'm not saying that Dallas people do that. There's just this bougie air that they carry themselves with. And, you know, there's a lot riding on the line in this game. You know, we gotta shove these, you know, uppity bougie folks. We gotta shove their nose in the dirt. So I'm just saying, what's at stake here, bro?
Yeah, I mean, this game is huge. And it just doesn't matter what's happened at this point, how, what the record is, what they had to do to get there, what we had to do to get there. I mean, we've had ups and downs this season to deal with injuries and new guys stepping up and re-identifying and everything. It's just a journey when you're in a football season, and how it starts, not always how it ends. So now we're sitting in a situation, everybody's 0-0, and these are the four teams, and we know we're better than this team. So what do we need to do to make sure we put our players in the best situations, handle the ball the correct way, getting the most high efficient play calls to go do what we know we can do and beat this team for a third straight time? And that's what we're going to try to do. We know they're not going to give it to us. We know they're not going to lay down and say, here y'all go to the championship. They're going to come out like a wounded animal, you know, with that last bite, ready to take it from us. And, you know, the focus is on us to go take it from them. And that's what we're going to try to do Saturday. Fill the rig, baby.
Hell yeah, let's go. AJ Smith, the offensive coordinator of your Houston Roughnecks, big playoff game on Saturday. Weather's going to be great. You guys better show up at TDECU Stadium to support your next. AJ, thanks so much, man, and good luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That is AJ Smith, the offensive coordinator of your Houston Roughnecks. That was fun. I like him. I like him. I like that he entertained my questions about partying, too. Because there's, if this was an NFL interview, you know for a fact they'd be like, I'm focused on the game at hand. Like, shut up. Come on. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Saturday's going to be fun. You guys, if you've been to a Roughnecks game, you know how fun it is. It's a totally different atmosphere than a Texans game. It is not like a church. It is fun. So make sure that you're out there on Saturday. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The NFL draft is tonight. The Texans have the 2nd and 12th overall pick. If you've got any concerns that you want to share or any thoughts, you know how to do it. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Plus, we had a caller earlier today on ESPN 97.5 that took a shot at me. You will hear that audio. You'll probably laugh too. Next, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Fun. Sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Will Levis wants you to forget he drinks coffee with mayonnaise and eats bananas with the peels on. But something you can't forget? He was born in Massachusetts and played high school football in New England. Is he a Patriots fan and vicariously a cheater? Even worse, he wants you to forget he played at Penn State, the same place Bill O'Brien once coached. Talk about disaster. If you draft Will Levis, you'll put yourself in a crevice.
This ad was paid for by the Texans might not draft the quarterback tonight. Deal with it.
Again, the Texans can pay me for all these hit piece advertisements that I am giving them in case they don't end up drafting a quarterback tonight. And I think there's a pretty good chance that they're not going to be taking a quarterback 2nd overall. I'm not going to get mad about any pick they made. I will be bummed out that there's not a young quarterback to be excited about going into next year. But for all I know, all these quarterbacks are going to stink. Also, for all I know, all these quarterbacks are going to be good. None of us know at this point in time. I would tell a lot of Houston sports fans and Texans fans out there, you don't have the best track record when it comes to your immediate reaction to some of the picks. I'll point to J.J. Watt. I don't think you guys handled the Mario Williams situation quite as bad, but the people that were pushing for Vince Young, were you right? No, you weren't. He had a good rookie season. Jeff Fisher was holding him back. Vince Young was holding himself back. Come on, be honest. He was. It's possible for a quarterback to give you good moments and still not deliver on all the promise that he potentially had. Robert Griffin III, same thing, right? Like for a year, that was awesome. That was a great pick for Washington. But then he gets hurt, things change. Vince Young, there's an argument to be made that he ate his way out of the league. You know, and it's a bummer because he was so awesome in college. Everyone loved him at Texas. It would have been really cool to see him play here, but I don't think that is a fair thing to say that had he been drafted here, it would have definitively been better than it was in Tennessee. And on top of that, like, he was a better pick than Mario Williams. Williams was a good player in the league, much like Jadeveon Clowney was a good player in the league. You'd rather have good than a complete whiff at both of those picks. And by the way, people hated the Clowney pick at the time. Mm-hmm. They could have taken Blake Bortles instead. They took Clowney. That was the right move.
So Will Levis also kind of reminds me of those two guys because of Clowney and Mario Williams, because the consensus is like, well, he's not like the Von Miller, like, going to be double-digit sacks every year guy. And that, to me, just sounds that that's literally Jadeveon Clowney. That's Mario Williams. So if they draft Will Anderson or even Tyree Wilson, should they just give him the number 90? Just like, probably. Here you go. Like it's a soccer team. We give our best player number 10. We give the defensive end that we draft that our fans don't want, we give him 90.
It might be smart to give him another number just because of that. Look, we have been here and done that before, and I think it's because those guys did not live up to the expectation attached to the number one overall pick. But a thing that people do, too, yes, you're going to have adjusted expectations, heightened expectations for guys taken in the first round. But I put together a piece, I think this was when I was in Seattle. I forget when. I got to put the link out. For the most part, like a successful first-round pick is a guy who is going to play out the 4 to 5 years that he's on the team and actually play a significant amount. Not many of these guys are pro bowlers. Not many of these guys are all pros. You're just hoping that you end up giving that guy the fifth year option. And that's about a 50-50. Maybe it's a little bit higher than 50-50. I got to check the numbers. I forget them off the top of my head, but I went back and did a study from a 4 year stretch. And yeah, there are some players who are taken first overall who are great. There are others who stink. These are obvious takes that I'm saying right now, but don't put too much next to that number two overall pick. You're looking for a good to great player for half a decade. Like, that should be your minimum expectation. And if you get more than that, awesome. But what you should be looking for, regardless of where the pick is in the first round, the realistic way to look at it is we're going to get a good player for half a decade. And if you do, that is a success as a pick. And did you have a good player in Mario Williams for, what, 4 years? 5 years? Yes, he was a good player. Did you have it in Jadeveon Clowney? Yeah, he was a good player. You can't deny Jadeveon Clowney wasn't a damn good run defender. But obviously there was some things that made you frustrated with him, and you could say the same thing with Williams. Williams didn't love football as much as others do. It's not to say he sucked, but it did feel like he, and sort of with David Carr too, that the commitment level wasn't exactly where you wanted to be. And that's tough to predict before the draft. Speaking of predictions, this was an easy prediction to make, that somebody today on ESPN 97.5 would call in and do this.
Lou wants to talk about the NFL. Hey, Lou.
Hey. So I have a two-part question here. The first question is, conspiracy theory-wise, do you think Lovie Smith intentionally won that game in order to give the Bears the first pick overall since they gave him his first head coaching job? And my second question is, do we dress like it's Pride Night tonight since Paul Gallant is going to be there?
Wow. Which one do you take more seriously, Why? The first or the second question?
Why? Why, Lou? That's not Lou. His name's not Lou.
It was funny because they started to talk about that question, the first part of the question, but then they drifted back into talking about me. And John at one point says, well, Paul claims to be heterosexual. And I was like, yes, John's keeping the bit going. I like to leave this mystery in the air, guys. I don't know where it started. I'm sorry I'm pretty and dressed better than everybody, but I like to keep some 90s level sitcom drama hanging in the air. I've been rewatching Chuck recently, JD and Elliot. Been rewatching, rewatching Scrubs, JD and Elliot. Been rewatching Chuck and Sarah. Like, I like to hang that over the show. A little mystery. Is Paul gay? Is he straight? Is he something else? Who knows? I don't even know now. I don't. But wear whatever you want. I'm gonna be wearing one of my finest bamboo Hawaiian shirts at the Texans draft party brought to you by 1800 Tequila. The boys of the wheelhouse are in Kansas City. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway. It's the Southwest Freeway one. I've said this a million times, so hopefully you've heard it. I will be there. I think I'm going to punish myself if the Texans do not take a quarterback with those first two picks. Patrick Creighton and I are going to be doing the coverage of the draft after John Granato and Jeremy Branham do it for the first couple of picks. There's going to be texts and calls. We will bring them to the table. The other station does not do that during their draft coverage. It is state-sponsored radio. No offense to them. I do like the guys at the state-sponsored radio, but this is going to be a fun time tonight, so come on out. And you might get to see caller Red, who called in and says he wants to put together a petition to get me off the air. You might see caller Red confront me with his 8-year-old child, who he thinks can do a better radio show than me. And he might be right. That's the sad part.
Yeah, come see this 8-year-old who might be great at sports talk radio.
Should we have how do you do a sports radio op? Do I have to, like, someone has to present a topic and we just have to argue it?
Yeah, no. On one side of the table is you. On the other side of the table is this 8-year-old. And I go, Jordan or LeBron? And make your case.
See, I'm glad you're going to give that. Because if you ever watched, they used to have this ESPN show. And they would put them into the debate situations. I think it was the Dream Job show, right? Did you ever see it?
I don't remember
that. It was way back in the day. There was a reality TV show for people to become members of ESPN. And they would make them do some first take topics too. So they'd put a topic in the middle of the table and one person would have to take one side and the other person would have to take the other side. And they didn't get to determine it. It was determined for them. So they had to think on their feet. And it was like, damn, well, this is not really speaking very well of original thought here. It seems like you're just debating for the sake of debating. But please, if that situation happens, please don't put me in the corner. Like, say someone puts out, like, Hitler. All right. 8-year-old kid, he's anti-Hitler. Paul, you got to be pro-Hitler. Don't do that to me.
You said you're one of the great propaganda minds of...
But not like, we're talking like post-America. We're talking, we're not talking Russia.
Post-World War II America. Because actually
post-McCarthyism America.
I was going to say post... Like,
actually, shoot, I don't even know. Like, post, this is propaganda everywhere.
Post-2018.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to have a lot of fun at the draft party tonight. And I highly encourage, before the draft starts, I'll be off to the side and I'll be watching and I'll be taking my notes. But don't be afraid to say hi to any of us. We're all friendly people. Anyway, up next, we wrap up the show. It's a really sad day. Jerry Springer passed away. We'll play some great memories of the man, the myth, the legend before we wrap things up on this draft day. Next, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Anthony Richardson couldn't even complete 55% of his passes in college, let alone beat Vanderbilt. But if you ask him, it wasn't his fault.
I can definitely get better at delivering the ball and helping my guys up, you know, but I can also catch every pass.
Anthony Richardson, always blaming others. If you draft him, You'll never recover.
This ad was paid for by the Texans might not draft the quarterback tonight. Deal with it.
It's probably my biggest reach of a rhyme, but I can put negative ads together with the best. Houston Texans, you're looking to put some spin on not drafting a quarterback tonight. You can hire me. There's still time. I can slander every single quarterback in the draft. Hendon Hooker only has one leg. Do you want a pirate under center for your team? No, you don't.
He's also, like, older than Lamar Jackson.
Hendon Hooker qualified for AARP literally last week.
Do you want an old peg leg as your starting quarterback?
Right. There's ways to do this. Hendon Hooker went to Tennessee, a state overrun by cannibals per Paul Gallant. Do you want a cannibal under center?
No, you don't. You don't want a cannibal under center.
Although.
No, you don't want a cannibal.
He's got that dog in him.
Character concerns. Cannibal.
Yeah.
Army Hammer, can't draft him. Can't do it.
I don't know. I don't know.
You can't do it.
I'd put him as an edge rusher.
No, because he wouldn't be able to get off. He wouldn't be able to get off. How's he going to get off? How are you going to get out of
I think
of
he gets
stance?
Off by cannibalism.
Oh, okay, my bad. I thought you were talking about the peg leg, too. Okay. Jake
no, I'm
Asman,
talking about Army Hammer.
Jake Asman just tweeted this because the Wheelhouse guys are in Kansas City for the NFL draft, and our draft coverage begins in earnest at 7 o'clock, where it's John Granato, Jeremy Branham, then Patrick Creighton and me talking about the draft until 11, live from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. But the Wheelhouse guys are in Kansas City leading up to the draft, and Jake tweeted out a picture of somebody in a Panthers jersey. It's a custom C.J. Stroud Panthers jersey. Oh, boy. That is an investment. That's probably $300 down the drain.
No, not down the drain.
Yeah, that's down the drain.
Now it's a...
You're never wearing that again. If they don't pick him, they're not wearing that. You're not wearing that again.
Unless
no.
C.J. Stroud turns out to be like Tom Brady.
You're never going to wear that again. Yeah.
Probably not.
It would be an ironic wear if he yeah. does end up like Tom Brady, but he's never going to wear that again. All right, we're going to wrap up the show with a little garbage time and pay homage to one of the all-time television greats.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Some sad news today. Jerry Springer passed away at the age of 79. An incredible life. Did you know that he was born in England in February of 1944? So he was born basically in the midst of World War II. That's pretty crazy. Also, he was once the mayor of Cincinnati from 1978 to 1979. What? That was well before his television career started in 1991. And here's what's even crazier. His parents had escaped from Prussia in Germany during World War II to England. The station that was right next to where he grew up was being used as a bomb shelter. So that's just before he gets to reality television, where he recreated the game. Here is one of many hilarious, or maybe you find them disgusting, moments from the great television show, The Jerry Springer Show.
Jerry has what? More ass than you do.
Fantastic. Does Jerry have a big ass?
I think she was trying to say that the person she was talking to had no ass. I believe. When I pulled the clip from YouTube, I didn't get a good look at
the butt. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'll look next time, because as the sexually ambiguous member of the Paul Gallant Show, maybe that's something that you want me to actually weigh in on.
Jerry Springer did turn around and bend over, though, after that's what got the people going. You know?
Look, that might have been trash TV. Whatever. It was funny. It was funny. People were willing to go on that TV show thinking that would go over well for them. I don't know why they all agreed to go on it, like thinking, like, this is great for me. It's not. I'm fascinated by this stuff about his parents being German Jewish refugees who escaped concentration camps.
Like, yeah, that's nuts.
There are members of his family who died in concentration camps. His maternal grandmother died in gas vans, and his paternal grandmother died in concentration camp hospital as well. As did his, I guess, great uncle. But he came over to the United States of America, and I mean, he was a mayor. He did one of the greatest, most successful television shows of all time. He was a campaign advisor for Robert F. Kennedy. I mean, what a fascinating life. Just side note, the television show. Because people only talk about the TV show. He was so much more than that. And I mean, he is a great American. I know that we're maybe frowning on the what that television show did for America, but I mean, an incredible life. Is there a book about Jerry Springer somewhere?
There has to be a book about Jerry Springer. Yeah, no, Jerry Springer, like you said, great life before TV, and then, like you said, just absolutely changed the TV game. You're sick and watching whatever's on TV because you're not at school. And I mean, nothing was better than Jerry Springer show. There's so many clips. There's like 11-minute clips that I could have pulled. We could have just done an entire segment of Jerry Springer clips.
I know what I'm doing before the draft, and it's not
you're not cramming
last minute cramming information.
Some Tyree Wilson tape.
No, I'm gonna watch Jerry Springer clips today between now and our draft party. I'll be at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway for our draft coverage, which, as the draft begins at 7 o'clock, begins here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Please come join us. I'm excited. I'm really excited to hang out with you all tonight. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, our callers, and our Twitchers. Up next, it's the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham, Joel Blank. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace!
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.